I've written on the board the word supplication. I'd like to think about that a little bit tonight. We had a lesson a couple of weeks ago, maybe, on prayer. And I feel impressed to have maybe one more lesson on that with focus on the word that I wrote on the board. I'd like to read out of the fourth chapter of Philippians. Maybe we'll read two verses. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and the sixth verse says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Have you ever thought much about how that verse started, "Be careful for nothing"? What does that phrase mean? Does that mean that the Lord's saying that we should be careless? Is prudent care forbidden? Is that what that means? When you look at the translation of that, it speaks of being anxious for nothing. Being anxious for nothing. I wonder how often that's our testimony. Maybe we could have a show of hands tonight. Who has a testimony this evening of being able to have a consistent walk where you could say, "I am anxious for nothing always"? Is that a challenge to you to think about? This is the Word of God. It says be careful for nothing, and it means be anxious for nothing. And it speaks of not allowing anything to steal our peace, because it goes on and it talks about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So Paul is instructing us, don't lose your peace. Be anxious for nothing. And too often I suspect that our joy and our peace is replaced by fear and anxiety often because of those things that are bigger than we are. I don't have a whole lot of fear and anxiety of those things that I can handle. You look at them and, or maybe the quantity of them too. Sometimes you can handle one at a time, but when they come 10 at a time, sometimes that can cause you some anxiety. But typically in life, we're not moved by those things that we look at and that we see them coming our way. We go, "I got it." It's like, I can take care of it. We don't lose our peace over that. But when we face those things that are bigger than we are in life, and at our best, we are inadequate to handle them, what I found in my life is that's when I become anxious. I can become anxious just thinking about it before it ever shows up. Sometimes it doesn't even show up. Maybe it'd been better not to worry about it till it showed up. But I'll tend to look out and anticipate what's coming. And if it's bigger than what I believe I can handle, it's a human nature, I think. And it's part of it. God put part of that in us to survive. To recognize, I can't do this on my own. I need to hide. I need to run. I need to get some help from somewhere. Otherwise, I'm going to be in trouble. But what I find is that life, in reality, life presents many, many things to us that are bigger than we are. That's life. And if you haven't found that yet, you probably will. It's coming. Life brings circumstances that are unexpected, that take you by surprise and often are bigger than what you are. And yet the Lord desires that we have peace in the midst of the trouble that is around us. And so Paul exhorted us here, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But instead of being anxious, focus your energy in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known unto God with these things. And then trust Him. And if you do that, he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yet, how often, though, do we not experience peace that passes all understanding? And I'll just acknowledge that too often I don't experience the peace that passes all understanding. I have growth to do in this area. And so this touches home for me. So what is key? What potentially are we missing if we're not experiencing more peace that passes understanding when we face circumstances of life that are bigger than what we are? Well, first, and I know I won't spend a lot of time on this piece tonight because we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, but I want to reiterate, God wants us to be thankful. If we are not thankful in this life, God notices that, and we have a lot to be thankful for. We're instructed to bring our requests before God with thanksgiving, recognizing the goodness of God. And if we find that we're praying often and there's very little thanksgiving in our prayers, that's probably also a person that doesn't experience a lot of peace. But if we will be disciplined to think about, be deliberate about reflecting on all of the things that we have to be thankful for, it helps bring our trouble into perspective. And so the scripture here teaches us, be thankful. Are we thankful enough? And so that is a challenge to us tonight. Let's be thankful. Do we dwell on things that have virtue, that are virtuous? You know, sometimes we can get in a rut, and I've been there. We can get in a rut where our mind starts turning on all kinds of things that are just full of trouble. And our mind just goes around and around and around. And we rent space out in our mind to all things that are not, that aren't according to truth, things that aren't honest, things that aren't just, things that aren't pure, things that aren't of good report, things that don't have virtue. And we allow ourselves, we give ourselves to dwelling on these things. But then we expect to have peace in our heart. See the disconnect? How can we have peace in our heart if these are the things that we dwell on? We say, yeah, but it's reality. But so is God. God's a reality too. And He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. And so if our focus, instead of going to the One who can give us rest and thinking about all the good things that He's done for us and that He's promised for us, and we focus on all the negative things that we can focus on, probably not going to have very much peace in life. And so Paul went ahead and said, you know, the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue and if there be any praise, think about those things. And so the Lord wants us to dwell on positive things, things that are known, things that that involve eternal truths that are positive. And it's not just, you know, there's books out there, The Power of Positive Thinking. That's not my message, where it's a willpower, and I'm not discounting the power of positive thinking because it's scripturally based too. But Jesus Christ wants to be our power. And Jesus Christ wants us to recognize that in Him and through Him is victory, regardless of all the things that we see around us. And so He invites us to think about and focus on all of these good things. Okay, so what else is there in this verse? Well, it speaks of prayer and supplication. Well, that's what we do, isn't it? We go and we pray when we get into trouble. We pray and we ask God to help us. We all know that. But what about this supplication thing? Because this says by prayer and supplication. And that's the thought. I want to think just a little bit about supplication here this evening, because I think sometimes the meaning of supplication gets missed, and I believe that it is key to finding peace in our hearts. So what is supplication? And maybe we can write some of this on the board. What does supplication mean to you when you read this verse and you read by prayer and supplication? What goes through your mind? What does this speak to your heart when you read this?
I think of being in real earnest about, which, you know, a pretty high degree of prayer. So, I mean, it's an earnest.
Earnest, okay. The act of asking with a degree of having an earnest heart. What else?
Entreating
the Lord. What else, y'all?
A petition.
A petition? So we can pray and not be very earnest. Have we ever done that? Have you ever prayed and you got done praying and you're not even sure what you just prayed about? If you were to have to write down everything you just said, could you do it? Yeah, sometimes we're guilty of just saying a prayer and we get done and we just said a prayer, but it might not have gone very far. That's different than praying with an earnest heart. You want peace? Do you want your prayers answered? Have an earnest heart when you pray. Shut the other stuff out. Get down before God and be earnest about what it is you're going before God the Father with. Be earnest. Entreat Him. You know what this word? This word right here speaks of something that's coming from the heart. You're entreating. You're not just asking what we ask, but this starts to describe a higher level. I entreat you. It's Lord, I have a petition. Supplication. What else comes to your mind?
Being
fervent.
Pardon?
Fervency. Okay. Fervent.
Request.
Say again, Brother Larry.
Request.
So it's a request. Yes, it is a request.
I know this kind of falls under some of what's already been put, but I just have a word picture in my mind of just like a person that's in need and they're lifting up your needs, like you're bringing them to the intercessor. You have needs that you are bringing and lifting up to Him.
Lifting up. In other words, you're doing something there too. You're not just communicating what it is, but you are lifting them up to the Lord.
I think of it as not doing it in a bossy way, where when we're going before the Lord like this, it's with an humble heart, because we're needing Him. Without Him, there's nothing.
Humble.
Yes.
So giving them up? Is that
so,
times when we get before God, we're just, sometimes we don't even know how, do we? Isn't there a song that says something about laying our burdens down at Jesus' feet? Go ahead. That's actually part of the dictionary definition of supplication. Begging. You see, there's an earnestness to this. It's, Lord, please have mercy on me. I need help. Supplication.
I think of what you may have mentioned, that's probably the one we're doing it for somebody else a lot of times. Because somebody else, sometimes our needs might be such we're not able to do that quite like that. But when for someone else, when that lifted up would come.
Yeah. There's another word, consistent. And I wrote this down. Supplication comes from the word, it's a Latin word, supplicare or supplicar. And you know what the root of that is? The root of supplicare or supplicar is supple. Let's think about this just for a few minutes. What does supple mean to you? What does that word mean?
Flexible.
Soft. What else?
Pliable.
Flexible. What else comes to your mind?
Like a piece of clay.
Like clay. It moves. It can be formed. One definition also is healthy. So when you think about the word supplication, and just to review what we have on the board, supplication is the act of asking with an earnest heart, where we entreat. We're making a petition. We've thought about this thing. This is something that lies close to our heart. We do it with a fervent spirit. We're humble. Lord, we're lifting these things up to you. We're not just saying words, but there's something that's happening when we pray to you that we're wanting to lift up and we want you to take. And it's important to us. And sometimes we don't even know how to lift them up. Sometimes, Lord, we just have to lay them down and ask you to help in ways that we don't even know how to verbalize. And Lord, please have mercy. Begging is part of the definition of supplication. This isn't begging in a bad way. It's, Lord, I cannot do this on my own, and I have a need, and you are the only one that can answer. We need help. Please, God, have mercy on us. And we do this as long as it takes. If we're really earnest about it and we're fervent and we recognize that we don't have the answers, we are humble before God, we're going to have to come with humility, then if this is really where our heart is, then it's probably not a one and done. We're probably not going to just say a prayer and then that's the last time we ever say the prayer. Otherwise, we probably weren't very earnest about it. But if there's something that lies close to our heart, and we face things in life all the time that is close to our heart, and they're bigger than we are. If we desire peace of God, a peace that passes all understanding, that scripture says that we're going to have to do more than just say a prayer.
We're going to have to do more than just thank the Lord for the things that He has done. But we're going to have to offer up prayers, and it says supplication. And supplication now, when we begin to think about the root word of it being supple, we come before the Lord with a mind that is pliable. We come before God with a mind that's flexible, and it's healthy, and it moves, and it can be formed, and it's like clay. And we come before the Lord and we say, Lord God, You are God and I'm human and I need help and I can't do this on my own. And we are humble and we are earnest, and we come before God with a mind and heart that is supple. So we don't come before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I want. This is how it needs to be. Now, we don't usually tell the Lord that, but sometimes that can be what's in our heart. We get in our mind what the answer is that we want, and we don't want to be moved off of that. We're here, and we want to be over here. And so we go before the Lord with our request without leaving a whole lot of room for the Lord to be able to work with our hearts and our minds, that we might better understand what His will is for us. Empty out.
Of self and what I thought. And I've tried it and had never thought I was going before the Lord in real earnestness and sincerity. But He was pointing out something there. There was something there that was self, that was wanting. And I had to just say, Lord, take it. I empty out completely. I want an answer. And then I got an answer.
A lot of times that's when the answer comes. You know, a lot of times what God is trying to get us, He's trying to teach us. He wants us to learn of Him. And when we go before Him in prayer, the Lord wants us to recognize who we are and who He is. And He wants to communicate with us too. He doesn't want it to just be a one-way discussion that's going on. But He wants us to come before Him and be willing to empty ourselves out of ourselves, that He might fill us with what He has. If we come to Him with a vessel that's already full of our way and how we think it ought to be and the way what our opinions are and our thinking about it, we say, Lord, we want this vessel to be found in this different state. We want it to taste like this. We want it to do this for us. The Lord may be wanting us to empty ourselves out, empty our vessel out, be movable like clay, be willing to be adjusted some, be willing to come before the Lord and have Him enlighten your mind in some areas that you never saw it that way before. And what happened after the Lord opened your mind to an answer that was different than you expected? Didn't it change your perspective?
It did. It strengthened me in a way I didn't know I needed strength.
We have to be willing to accept when we go to the Lord with whatever our need is, to accept what His answer is. Because sometimes I've done it. Like when I was praying for Michael's healing, I wanted to be healed.
Sure. You may not get the answer you want. But if we can get the answer that we know comes from God, it can help change our perspective on the whole situation and bring about a peace that you never expected to be able to have, because the Lord can then fill you up with answers that totally changed the way you looked at it, or helped you to understand that He is God and that He knows best and that you can trust Him and that He will bring about the best possible thing for you. To all them that love the Lord, the Scripture said, He'll work for good those things according to His purpose. It wasn't according to our purpose, Romans 8:28. Doesn't say according to our purpose. It says according to His purpose. And if we will come before Him with supplication, where we are supple, we come before Him and say, Lord, help me to come before You and help my mind and my heart to be supple before Your throne. Lord, help me to empty out in those places where I think I've already emptied out, but I haven't. And I just don't recognize it. You know, sometimes we think, Lord, I want Your will, but really we still want our will. And sometimes that is the reason why we can struggle for so long, is because the Lord's still trying to get us to empty out. He's still trying to get us to the place where we say, not my will, but thine be done, and mean it. How bad do we want an answer from the Lord? How much do we want peace that passes all understanding? If we just give our prayers and our requests just half energy, half of our heart, just part way, and we really don't focus that much on, well, Lord, is there something You want for me in this battle? Lord, is there something that I can be strengthened in this battle that I'm in, instead of just asking to be delivered from it? Lord, maybe I should be asking, what is it You want to teach me in this battle? Lord, help me to have the grace to be able to go through this hard place. And maybe our perspective changes, that I don't need to be asking for deliverance from the hardship. I need to be asking the Lord for grace to help me through it, that I might be able to be a stronger person according to the will of the Lord when I get to the other side of it. The psalmist said it this way in the 37th Psalm and the 4th verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, we can read this verse really fast without thinking about it a whole lot. Say, oh, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. If I just love the Lord, what He'll just do, He'll just give me whatever my heart desires. This sounds really good. And commit thy way unto the Lord. Let the Lord know, well, here's the way I'm going, and trust in Him, and He'll just bring to pass. He'll bring to pass what I want to have happen in my way. I don't think the psalmist, I think he was a lot deeper than that. I think the psalmist had started to understand, began to understand some of this. Delight thyself in the Lord's way. The more that we delight in being like Jesus Christ, the more we are willing to commit our lives and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. The better we get to the place where we're able to empty out ourselves and offer our vessel to the Lord and say, Lord God in heaven, as humbly as I know how, Lord, would You fill my cup with what You want it filled with? Lord, help me to have the grace and the strength to live a Christian life. Help me to have the victory that You want me to have. Lord, help me to grow in grace. Help me to prosper spiritually. And Lord, You know how to do that, and help me better than anything else. Help me to submit to Thy will. The closer we get to that place where we are delighting more in having the will of the Lord be done in our lives than our own will, where we find that we are committing ourselves more to following the path that Jesus Christ wants us to follow than trying to commit to the Lord the path that we have chosen, that we want to walk ourselves, I think we're going to find that our prayers will start to be answered in a greater way, because we will begin to start to pray according to the will of the Lord and not our own way. And you know what comes with that? Peace. Because we are satisfied in our heart and our soul that God's in this. I have finally backed off of my own way. I've given myself to the Lord. And whatever turns out, whatever happens, I can be at rest that God is in it. And there's peace that comes with that. It doesn't always change our circumstances in life. It doesn't always take away all of the hardship. But there will be a peace that passes all understanding when you know and you feel assurance that you are living in a way that God wants you to live. Now, I want to close with this. We live in a time where so many answers and so many things that satisfy the flesh come so quickly. You can get what you want so many times, whether it's what you want to eat, where you want to be, and get in an airplane and fly miles relatively quickly. You need information, you can get information very quickly, on demand sometimes. But our spiritual lives in dealing with God is not like that. If we think that we're going to come before God and offer up a quick prayer and say, well, the promises of the Lord say that if I come to you and I want to serve you, you just do whatever I, you know, give me the desires of my heart, and then we don't get what we ask for quickly, and then we feel like we're disenfranchised with the whole thing and go somewhere else, we missed it. God is not like, you know, Amazon, where you just go online and order something really quick and get what it was that you wanted. Now you can focus your attention somewhere else. God's not like that way, and He's not going to be dealt with that way. He wants us to be earnest. He wants us to entreat Him. He wants us to view this as a petition before the Lord and not just some casual request. He wants us to be fervent about what we're doing and humble, recognizing who we are and who He is, coming before Him and laying down our burdens at His feet, things that we can't even lift up. He wants us to do it for as long as it takes. He wants us to be pliable in our minds. Come before Him with, Lord, I may be looking at this all wrong. Would You help me? Would You form me? Would You help me empty myself out in ways I don't even know how? And when we do that, and we take the time to do that, and we give our lives to do that, then I believe that we're going to start to experience more answers to our prayers. We're going to experience more peace in our life, because we're going to find that our way is getting closer and closer to the way of the Lord. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more peace that we're going to experience. Let's be encouraged by these thoughts tonight. Let's come before the Lord, yes, with prayer, with thanksgiving, and supplication, that we might find the peace that God has for us, each one. Amen.